Space. Time. Reality. It's more than a linear path. It's a prison of endless possibility.
Ladies and gents, oh my gosh, we're back again. Watchers of the Plus, can you believe it? Lots of stuff happening right now, and there are some things we saw, some things we didn't see, but boy, it has been quite a, what has it been, Sam, 2 weeks?
Yeah, our cup runneth over with content.
So. Well, and that's why we got to do it, because sometimes
Sam,
when you go...
Sam won here.
Yeah, that's what I'm part of the Moe's 412 universe, and those who would understand that will understand that. So you do something weekly. Yeah, I mean that's all great, but why not let stuff build up and then you can talk about a bunch of stuff? Because obviously you put pressure on me to watch that Spider-Man's, and
It's the song of the summer. It's the hottest thing since Avengers was a thing. So I think it just showed how much everybody was craving like a
good movie
Marvel.
Yes.
Thing. Like I thought something we can maybe do later is rank all the Marvel stuff. But considering we got 9 Marvel things, think about how many were Eternals, and as much as I like Shang-Chi, it's kind of a new character that I'm learning all this stuff about, and
it's a dud.
There's a quick peek of Wong in it, you know, like it wasn't really like a big universe tying in thing, like it kind of was its own thing. And Black Widow was great, but it doesn't, other than introducing you to these new characters, it just was a movie that should have came out 3 years earlier. Like
that's right.
So much more interesting in between Civil War and Infinity War.
So I think we ought to go ahead. Let's just start with the Spider-Man.
So now we get an A-list, top-of-the-line Marvel character with all the stops, all the money spent, all the, you know, it was, I feel like they were trying to scale up, like, much like Endgame and Infinity War and everything, that it was like, all right, let's really blow it out for this third one, because, you know, you never know if Tom Holland's going to come back, you know, I mean, he sounds like they're about ready to back the money truck up to him, and he's playing the game, but, you know, this is his last contractual Spider-Man for now.
Sam, I'm going to tell you something. I did watch the first Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. And then the rest of I wasn't very interested in. I think at the time, I can't even remember what was going on at the time, but there were other franchises and films that may have been, Marvel may have been pretty hype at that point. I can't really remember.
You know what? I think it was kind of the other golden age of this comic book movie stuff, because different studios all own the different IP.
Yes.
So there'd be a year where you got an X-Men movie, a Spider-Man movie, and a Marvel movie, and a DC movie, and you're just like, oh, this is great. And
yeah,
while I don't necessarily miss that, because half the X-Men movies I can take or leave it, probably same with some of the Spider-Man movies. I mean, Spider-Man 3 sucks,
and see I know
Amazing Spider-Man 2 pretty bad, you know, just
that, and that's
like
what
that.
I and that's what I've heard, and, but I will tell you, I think if there was someone that stole the show, it may have been Andrew Garfield. Like,
loved his performance in it. He was great. I guess spoilers, everybody, you know, if you weren't sure about this, it's been the biggest movie for 2 weeks. All the Spider-Man. We brought all of them back. I heard one person say that I think might have been Mark Bernardin say that he would have liked to have seen Chris Pine Spider-Man show up in the flesh. And I was like, oh, that would have been hilarious, since he was the Spider-Man from Into the Spider-Verse, the Peter B. Parker.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that it would have been fun to have like blonde Spider-Man show up. And just only the real big fans would be like, "What? Who's that?" And like, out, you know, you'd be like, "Oh, he's the one from Into the Spider-Verse that's going to die," like kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but no, I thought it was great, and I thought he was great. Like him catching Mary Jane, and
exactly.
Like,
that was
that emotional moment. Like,
absolutely.
I got emotional watching that. I was like, I mean, granted, I got pretty emotional watching this movie anyways, because I'm a sucker for it. And then the second time I see it, you know, my aunt had passed away, so. When you watch Aunt May die, and your real life aunt had just died about 5 days earlier, it hits you a little harder.
Yeah, I thought I will say I'm gonna be the truth-gasm in this, that the movie was well overhyped. It's been well overhyped for a year. And I think because it was a – I will go ahead and say it was a great movie. It had issues for me. But because it was at least on par of what Marvel should be doing, and frankly, it was more Sony that did it. Let's just be kind of honest around here. But this was where Marvel movies need to be. And so when they are where they are – where they need to be, people are excited about them. And when they throw trashy ones out and ones that are subpar, a la, you know, the Eternals and things of that nature, that just aren't right. They're just not where they need to be. It makes it levels things out. And so I don't disagree that this was a really good movie. I think the third act is really where things started to really punch in hard. I think getting there was a little meandering in places, but
yeah, I thought that listening to the Mr. Sunday movies, those boys, what kind of opened my eyes about how, yeah, there's a little bit of dumbness in the beginning, like how you don't put in a call to Pepper Potts to get your MIT applications reviewed is kind of silly to me, you know, like that I didn't even, you know, I didn't even think about, because I did think, I was like, doesn't Tony go to MIT? Like, seems like he's got some ins there, like,
you know, but it was a bookend.
Pretty bad people get into college because their dads have a lot of money. So I had a feeling that seemed a little silly that they couldn't get into any college. I mean, somebody would take him, especially, like, you know, considering his connections and everything as an Avenger and all that.
But it was interesting in the world that we live in, and divisions and everyone wanting to divorce everyone else, that all of a sudden, like, because, you know, Peter killed Mysterio, that it was all his fault. And, you know, and so the everyone else was an accomplice. I get that. I mean, it adds an interesting tension. Mm-hmm. But was it believable? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I completely buy it, but the idea that we're kind of resetting what Spider-Man is at the end, and like how
that's one of the things I thought was interesting, is that they were able to kind of almost retcon some of the stuff that Spider-Man purists didn't like about it. And it's like, oh, he's Tony Stark Jr. and he's got all this tech.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, he's going backwards. And he's also the one thing I hope they don't lose. Please don't lose the variable eye sizes. I think for any characters like Deadpool or Spider-Man that can be expressive with their eyes, with the mask on, you have to keep that. Even if it's like, there's no, I don't even need an explanation for it. Like, I don't need it to be their photo lenses that are constantly adjusting for his eyes that are taking in too much
data.
Well,
did Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man do that? I don't think it did. But
no, he just had bigger. I think he just had bigger eyes.
His were very big. Yeah. I think what I'm getting to with the Andrew Garfield is, I really actually, if Tom Holland didn't want to do it anymore, I say go ahead, let Andrew Garfield take it.
Well, yeah, and like, I wouldn't be surprised if they all do like a Secret Wars eventually. Maybe that's how you bring Miles Morales in. It seems like, I think that they're setting up for Miles Morales to be in the MCU already. I think that eventually will be who takes over when Tom Holland wants to leave. But I also heard some people say, like, hey, make Spider-Man 4, make Amazing Spider-Man 3, make Tom Holland Spider-Man 4, like, make them all. Like, I think that people would be into it. And yeah, it might muddy the waters a little bit if you get too wild with it, but you could totally make
up. If I'm Sony, I'm gonna tell you what, there is no way I'm selling this IP right now.
Well, you know what you could totally do is just be like, okay, Tom Holland is their Spider-Man, and you know what, Venom and Morbius are in the
MCU
Andrew Garfield averse.
Oh, okay, like, gotcha. Oh, yeah.
Like, they could even just be like, try and retcon that in, you know, like change the posters on Morbius to make sure that the fucking Daily Bugle looks like his one or something like that. And then
the Morbius ad or trailer in mine actually looked interesting.
Yeah, I'm
I know.
I just don't care about. I just never cared about Morbius. So like, and there's been a lot of characters like that where it's like, oh, I don't care about this character, and then you come to love him. Whether it's Guardians of the Galaxy or The Last Suicide Squad, or,
sure.
You know, all kinds of things like that. But I just don't feel like this is the one where I'm like, oh, look, this is somebody that really loves this, and like, it's just weird to me that it's like they're just kind of trying to find a star that wants to do a Spider-Man villain,
right?
And then once they get it, they throw a plot at it and then try and
well
make it look
I think
cool,
I think what effects. I what I'd like to see, and I don't know how this all works, but I mean, again, on a visual sense, I love Ghost Rider. So if Jared Leto's character, you know, Dr. Morbius, actually does something that is of the occult, that like somehow triggers like the, you know, the spirit of vengeance to come out, I think that would be interesting. Though, you know, what do you do? Do you say, okay, we'll just go ahead and let Nick Cage do it again? I it's possible. I mean, he's getting this kind of like resurgence again, and I
well,
don't
you know who the rumor is that has already been cast. I don't know, and then this is deep rumors. I don't
okay
heard like a substantiated where I'd like, oh, I think this actually happened, but
okay,
a lot of people are saying Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead is going to be
that would be fantastic. I would accept that.
Yeah, I would love it. I'm good with Nick Cage. I'd like Nick Cage to play some crazy villain or something.
Yeah,
like let him get in there and be wacky. Or let him be the Silver Surfer.
Damn, like Norman Reedus would be badass, actually. And yeah. Nick Cage is Silver Surfer. Interesting mm-hmm. casting. I could just see
Nick Cage doing it and doing the voiceover of while making faces of being like, Do I belong to this Herald? You know, yeah. Whatever. I mean, I never was a big Silver Surfer. I never was really a cosmic comic guy. I didn't really like watching.
I like the idea of Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I like the idea. I just, somebody's got to put it, I'm not the guy to translate it is all I'm saying. So
I want no CGI on Nick Cage, and I want him to look similar to the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz and just silver his face up, and it's going to make it look real cheap. That's the way I want it to look.
You just have him in like a silver bodysuit.
That's
like,
right.
Like, and, Dennis, and, yes. Like Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would
yes.
wear to like a
perfect.
Concert or something.
Yep. That's what I want.
That's been my binge of choice lately is that that's one thing I think that my fiance is annoyed by me is that I always will have an old favorite show that I will just watch from beginning to end, even if I miss episodes cooking yeah. or whatever, but it's just like, oh, I'll be on Deadwood or I'll be on Sopranos. Well, right now I've been doing a Sunny, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia rewatch, and it just kind of re-falling in love with the show all over again, even though I didn't love this last season. It was a little, it still felt like it got shotgunned on us. It was 4 weeks in December and they released two a week. And it was like, oh, here's your eight episodes of It's Always Sunny for this year.
I've missed the train on that show. I really did. And there was,
I tried to get my dad into it a few times where, especially cause like we've always bonded over shows and bars. Like he liked The Simpsons cause he always liked the parts where Homer would go down to Moe's. And now that I watch as an adult, I watch it and I'm like, and I go, Jesus, the Simpsons had some bar flies on the writing staff in the first few seasons because they knew how to write a dive bar. They knew what it looked like. They knew what it felt like. They knew the right amount of depression with the right amount of funny.
Duff Man says a lot of things. Oh, yeah.
There you go, Duff Man. Favorite.
Yeah, you know, yeah, interesting. Hmm.
So.
Okay, so on the end of the day, I think
I gave
Spider-Man
two thumbs up on it.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Is there a thing or two that maybe is dumb in it? Sure, but I mean, you know, we're dealing with guys fighting goblins and magic, and you know,
it's a course correction. It's a course correction that in the positive way, and that's what I really needed to happen.
Now, do you think that this will get undone, or do you think that like will MJ and Ned remember?
Well, I think there's some theories out there that Ned, by going to MIT and never
becomes
getting
the Hobgoblin.
Yes. Something's going to, because he has no influence from Peter anymore. And so the guy in the chair doesn't want to be the guy in the chair anymore. Almost a MODOK.
Yeah, no, that'd be an interesting twist. And plus it's just kind of fun seeing that they have, I think that's one of the things that's great about Spider-Man. He's got this rogues gallery. I mean, look at, there was just images of people in the clouds at the end of the movie. And you're like, oh, Rhino. Oh, there's Kraven. I guess like there was even the Doc Ock took over Spider-Man's brain Spider-Man in there or something like that too. And, you know, I still think Mysterio's alive out there somewhere. And who knows, like that could be the next Sinister Six, is Mysterio's collecting people behind the scenes that all hate Spider-Man because they think killed Mysterio, and then he's going to reveal himself to be alive or something. And who knows? Like, I
think that was one of the coolest things that happened with the Mysterio stuff was that, like, from the cartoon and from, like, even the comic, like, Mysterio being able to get inside his head and create these illusions. Mm-hmm. And that was like psychologically kind of thrilling. And I was like, well, maybe. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal was great in that. I mean, he was a fleshed out character.
Yeah, so I could see him coming back for a Sinister Six movie with Michael Keaton. But that's the other thing that's weird, is that Michael Keaton's in the trailers for this Morbius movie. So that almost makes me have to see it. So I go, well, why does this connect? I don't know. God dang it. So, well, let's see. Well, yeah, two thumbs up on Spidey. I like the way it ended. I would have liked a better look at the homemade suit at the end. Like, I even screen grabs and stuff, I still haven't seen like a very good look at what it really looks like and what the eyes look like and all that.
You're not supposed to know that. You can't see that yet.
Well, and who knows? Maybe that's just because they're like, hey, look, we're not exactly sure what his homemade suit's going to look like. Here's the piece, first piece of shit one he made. And by the next one, it'll be in tatters and he'll be making one that'll be on the toys.
And two things, my prediction of Daredevil was wrong, which I'm actually now okay with.
Because that got a cheer in the crowd, and I think it got a gasp when he caught the brick, which I just loved. That was one of my favorite.
And that's all you really needed to have happen. It was just basically MCU acknowledging that Charlie Cox is Daredevil, and they acknowledged that Vincent D'Onofrio is the Kingpin. And if they fucking killed him, I'm gonna be pissed off because that's not the way to do it.
He's not dead. He's blind. He's blind in Brazil, getting those robot eyes or whatever the fuck happens in the comics. Something along, but in the comics he gets blinded. They did almost the exact same thing of her hunting him down. You know, so if we're gonna get into that, because we see Spider-Man flinging past the tree at Christmas time, right at the end of the movie, let's launch right into Hawkeye, because I loved it. You know, was it my favorite Marvel thing? I don't know about that. You know, I like Spider-Man better.
I think the problem with the show is those first two episodes. If you don't get past the first two,
it gets better after the first two, I would say.
Yeah. And I still don't like the whole I don't like these C plots with Echo. I don't think that was necessary.
I wanted to be more interested in Echo.
Of course you did.
At the end of the day, I was like, so she's just a good fighter who can, like, and I mean, you know, granted, not everyone's going to be Daredevil that has radar or whatever, but I was like, what are her powers? Like, I was waiting around trying to figure out, like, if she had some sort of power set or something. And then I was like, so she's deaf and she's like, okay at reading lips, sort of, you know what I mean? Like, so that's the other thing. I was like, you'd think that she'd be like amazing at reading lips, but it's like, oh, but she can't even talk, like, which is fine. I'm not trying to talk shit or anything, but it's just, I was waiting for the Daredevil-esque version of a deaf person, and instead I was like, oh, so she's just a really good fighter who's deaf and can kind of read lips.
And well, and it presupposes that we all know
kind of a badass with that that leg. You know, she kept beating people's ass with that prosthetic leg. That was probably my favorite part.
But a vast majority of people do not know American Sign Language, and it was almost like, oh, well, that's just commonplace. Everybody knows. I'm like, stop it. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so that's the thing I thought was a little strange. Was that I was like, oh, I looked up her comic book, and it's just like, yeah, she's got enhanced senses and is fast and strong and knows karate and eventually gets the Phoenix Force. And I'm like, okay, so she doesn't really have powers in the comics, I guess. So that makes sense. But I thought that it was like, you know, just knowing about her, I was like, oh, she's deaf. She's obviously like this kind of like the deaf Daredevil kind of thing is what I thought.
Right.
Just knowing only that, and then kind of being like, oh, so she's just kind of a good, she's one of them good kicky punchy guys. Like, you know, so she's just good at fighting. Okay. That is tough. Like, okay. I mean, she was cool, but part of me almost wonders, I'm like, so is the Echo series really a Daredevil series? or is it real? Are we really going to go? Because it seems like her story, you know, she killed the guy who screwed over her father. She killed the guy. She thinks she kills the guy who ordered it. Like, what's, you know, what's her next?
But see, you're getting to my point, which is you start to add the C plot of a character in. Instead of just teasing it a little bit, you start developing her over Hawkeye, and it's like,
well, how about this? How about you have her father be in charge of the Trask Suit Mafia?
Okay,
and he's just going after Clint because of Kingpin, which we don't know who Kingpin is. He just maybe they're just right. going after him because he you know something he did is you know he just thinks it's the whole Ronin stuff, and then at the end. Kingpin orders her father's assassination and she's been like in the background the whole time. And she's just been like a henchman or something. And you didn't even really know that she was deaf or whatever. Like, and then you come to find out, oh, this was her daughter, bloody handprint on the face.
Well, the thing is,
you find out in the finale, it was Kingpin that ordered it. Boom. You have the Echo series where she's out to avenge her father.
Okay.
Like, you know, that makes
Sam, what you're getting to is, and this goes along with our order of operations here. I call it the Boba Fett phenomenon. Okay. So what I mean by that is a character that has two lines in a movie and that everybody is drawn to and begins to get very, very interested in. They don't know anything about them. And it's a tease. And you can find out, do people want this? And so you don't have to do this whole big thing with Echo. You do a small thing. And if people are interested in it, you'll hear about it. And then you start to bring her into other things and expand it. You don't just lay it down on us. And expect us to just, oh yeah, I'm just gonna eat this up. No, you've got to. If people aren't interested in it, you've got to make a choice there, and that's an easy way to find out. Like, were people even interested in her? But now we.
Well, and plus they wasted the actor that played her father, Zahn McClammon, which I love him. He's such a great actor that I was like, oh great, we get him in the MCU and he plays a dead dad. Like,
yeah.
That's the other thing. I was a little surprised we didn't get any. I was expecting a reveal that something shady happened to Kate's dad in the explosion, because it was weird that it was just like the mansion exploded and she's watching the action and then the mom grabs her and oh by the way the dad's dead. I was like, especially because I heard some people say he's a somewhat known actor. I didn't know who he was, but I guess he's famous-ish for some stuff.
Well, I think I'm okay with that because not everybody has to be someone. I think. What it showed us was that there were ramifications to the Avengers, you know, dishing out, you know, in that fight that there were casualties.
Yeah, while it was badass,
because we never saw casualties in the Avengers movies.
Yeah,
you know, you didn't
probably
see
the fallout we saw from it was in the, you know, Netflix shows where like Daredevil could get a place for cheap because of. It was affected by the incident, you know, and stuff like that.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, so, like, it's those types of things.
I was half expecting Daredevil to pop up in this at some point, but I was just because I thought that there was a reason that he debuted in Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, I told you what the reason. I told you what the reason was.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I just know. But for some reason, there's a rumor going around that he's going to be popping up in a lot of shit, that he's going to be in the She-Hulk show. That he's going to sprinkle, that they're not going to just bring him back in a show right away, that he's going to be popping up in other things first, and then they'll eventually figure out, you know,
they need to figure out what kind of story they're going to, I mean, because they can't do,
just can't do the straight Frank Miller redo.
You can't do it again. Yeah, it's been done. I mean, so you've got to find those stories, like, I guess that Bendis and those guys did. And
yeah, I mean, there's some interesting ones where, like, he goes to jail. But I mean, we've already seen him kicking ass in jail. Like, they really did do a lot of the best Daredevil stuff on the show.
Yeah. I mean, there is a level of where do I really want another Daredevil show? In my heart of hearts, I do, but I don't, I want it to be right. The Netflix show, you know,
I also would be fine with a movie too. Like if it's rather than a show, you know, like I love a movie, and I think that he was great. You know, his couple minutes on screen was was great in Spider-Man. So yeah. He seemed like, it's not like he doesn't have the presence or anything. So, but no, but like other than the like little squabbles, like you said about Hawkeye, like I thought the action was fun. The arrows were fun. I thought the banter between the two of them was fun.
Pym arrows. I mean, we'd never seen a Pym arrow.
Yeah. You know, we got to see two, a big one and a little one, you know, which I took note of that too. When I noticed the Pym one was blue and then later they had a red one, I was like, oh yeah, blue is big and red is small. I remember saying that. So I was like, they're shrinking something later. I didn't see the owl taking the van away though. Hopefully those guys don't get out of the van. They should stay inside. Geez. You know, I thought that was fun. I thought that D'Onofrio's kind of kingpin was good. It seemed like a little bit more menacing, a little bit more comic booky than the previous ones, which I like that. I you know, I'd like to see him be a little bit more. I like that he was more physical and strong, like the Congo. Like I thought it was hilarious that he survived like a car like bashing him through like a wall and a bomb. He basically needed like four trick arrows to knock him down.
Yeah. I mean, I love like the way Senkevich used to draw him.
The wide kingpin. Yes. Like I was kind of almost hoping that they were going to CGI him a little wider or something like that, just because, you know, we've seen, you know, you can see what he looks like. You know, in, you know, you can only do so many camera tricks to make that look
even bigger. The way they did him in Into the Spider-Verse was awesome.
Oh, but, yeah, I think that's probably my favorite. I would maybe put that just a tinge ahead of D'Onofrio as my favorite like version of Kingpin.
I can get that. Just I
love the wideness, and I kind of just love, I think it's Liev Schreiber that does the voice, and he just does that perfect like kind of mobstery Brooklyn-y accent.
Yeah.
Hey, Spider-Man, you know, so wish I could say I'm glad to see you, but I'm not. I think he does great. I think that's my favorite, but D'Onofrio like is, I couldn't like when you would go like, okay, we're recasting for the MCU, pick somebody different. It's like, fuck, I can't think of somebody that would bring it the same way that D'Onofrio does. Like, so I'm glad that they're leaning into this whole multiverse thing and be like, yeah, some versions of Loki look just like Loki and some versions look like somebody else. You know,
you could have maybe Michael Chiklis perhaps, but again,
but
now
he's smaller. He's not very tall.
We're at the same point. I don't know. And like, you know, he's a lot older than he was. Mm-hmm.
And especially, it's one of those things I love typing in best bald actors just to see who you can pick. And it's always like Bruce Willis, Patrick Stewart. It's like old guys, people that'd be much better off playing Professor X than
right. We're aging out. We'll just do Timothy Chalamet will play Kingpin.
Yeah. So no, I love Hawkeye, and I think that they backdoor somehow made it so that the future Hawkeye and the future Black Widow are going to be besties now, that like antagonize each other. That's like, oh, that's interesting how they did that. Cause I thought Florence Pugh was great at it, making macaroni and doing office fights and trying not to kill Kate. But I thought that the end with her and Hawkeye was good, but it could have been, you know, I would have liked to seen her that been a little bit more of a transition.
How interesting would it have been if Black Widow came out when it was supposed to, and then we have Florence Pugh come back? I mean, it would have been even more exciting.
Yeah, she never shows up for Infinity War or whatever.
Yeah,
gets snapped and all that. Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't have been able to resist the temptation to have her and her mom and dad show up in a portal at the end if they could.
Yeah,
they got everybody back, but overall, I thought this was better than Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I thought this was probably a better buddy cop thing, like Falcon and Winter Soldier should have been, because I think that's when it was at its best, was when those two were ragging on each other and being funny, you know. So
I think they learned something from the Netflix universe.
Oh,
it was street level.
Street level stuff. And yeah, it doesn't always have to be the end of the world, which, you know, obviously Kingpin's got a lot of influence. He can hurt a lot of people. So it is in some ways very life or death. And so, but that's the thing, is sometimes one person's life or death can be the stakes of a movie. It doesn't have to be everybody's with a blue light in the sky.
Yep. Yep. So speaking of portals, I want to talk to you about mirrors.
Or are we about to...
We're about to go into the Matrix.
Are we about to go into Bullet Time?
Yes. Well, faster than Bullet
about,
Time.
And talk about Bullet Time and mention it and reference it and then talk about it too much and then maybe reference it and maybe show some highlights of it from previous movies because we don't have a big budget.
So and then I'm going to show you awesome looking film footage versus digital, like barely color graded and almost just bluntly looking weird and low budget. Yeah, it is the Matrix.
Yeah. And as you can tell, I'm slightly less high on this than I was Spider-Man. I fell asleep during it at one point and had to rewind it.
Yeah.
I did not
hate this movie. I didn't think it was excellent, but I thought it gave, I never liked the second and third one, which I think most people would be in that camp. I liked the first one. I thought they could have just left it alone and leave it forever. It was extremely meta about itself, which, you know, like the thing is, if you criticize it, the thing is the movie itself criticizes itself.
Well, so, and that's the thing is that I feel like it could have done this better. Like it just was so heavy-handed. They mentioned Warner Brothers during it.
Yep.
Like, it's obvious that Warner Brothers came to her and was like, we're going to make this movie. We'd like you to be a part of it. If you don't want to, that's fine.
But we're still going to do it.
We're still going to make it. And so she just literally puts that gripe right in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and it just, I don't get it. Like, if you don't.
Okay. Here's where I liked it. Okay. The weirdness of that they rebuilt their bodies and brought them back to life. Okay. I can get past that sort of. What I liked is the idea.
I would have liked a better explanation than just.
I agree.
Y'all, like.
I agree. But what I did, what the mental unstableness of Neo, of what is reality, what's not, do I want this? I'm being told that, like, and in my mind, I'm like thinking, well, is this much like people that do suffer from some sort of schizophrenia or a mental illness of some sort? Is this the kind of thing that they deal with? And so when he's confronted by this Morpheus that he's built in his own game, and he doesn't know whether what has become reality anymore. And then the whole mirrors of where you see this old guy that everybody's been seeing. And I thought, oh my gosh, is he that much older? And we were not aware of this. I thought there were some really, really interesting things. You know, like the way he sees himself is not the way everyone else in the Matrix, that new Matrix 2.0, sees him as. And I thought that there was an interesting like thought experiment that was going on for Act 1 and Act 2. Is the biggest deal was getting Trinity back. Okay, well, I guess that's something.
Well, it's like, he's like, Trinity was in the pod next to me, and they're like, are you sure? I don't know. How about that flying fucking robot that just took me out of there that's recording everything it sees? Why don't you look at the tapes, and you can see that they're, like,
and no one, like, Neo can't understand what the robots are saying, but everyone else can, and like, yeah, and then there was a flying Pokemon. It was the girl that grew up in the Matrix, the program.
Sati or whatever. Yeah.
It's just, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. You made a Pokemon?
Yeah. I thought this was a movie with a lot of cool concepts that was just then somehow made to be the first movie again.
Don't and make like, any more of these.
Yeah. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I'd be fine with Matrix movies that somebody else had, but I don't know. I didn't love any of the other sequels either. I mean, they were fun to watch at the time, but like it was ultimately disappointing because it was just trying to up the ante. And like this, so Neo's got push powers and he can't fly anymore. And, you know, this version of the Matrix sucks because all the people in any power are just bots that are making your lives miserable. So because your misery produces more output. But like, again, like this movie, what was it? 2.5 hours. It could have been 90 minutes. Like it could have, they could have shortcutted a lot of this and had a way less references and like, and just, you know,
the world that they, that the reality world where down that you have like robots that are working together. And then these other, you know, the magnetic programs, I thought that was interesting, but like that whole world, I've never really quite understood the one that they live in. Like everybody's underground, or it's one of those things where it's like, can we not explore that? Because why do we want to live in that world?
They can make strawberries now.
I guess so. But we don't even know what strawberries taste like.
Yeah, no. So I'm just, half the people were like, it was just weird references. Like I'm so-and-so's son. And I'm like, who? And I had to look it up. I'm like, oh, the captain from the third one that like lent the ship and Niobe was yelling at him and while he ran the gun, like who gives a shit? Like it was just stuff like that where I was like, I was expecting more like, oh, I'm Tank's fucking cousin or something like that. Or even seeing like maybe they got the act, like how they didn't like make amends with that actor and bring him back and have him be an old man in it or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, so it's working on the ships and says, hey, Neo, like, or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think there's for a movie that seemed to have a lot of budget, it didn't deliver anything cool visually, I thought, besides maybe the fact that they could do the master thing of going from like a door to a door, like going.
Yeah. That was interesting. Like somehow the technology was there that they could do key master stuff.
But then it's just like, they could just get uploaded. Like that's what I think that I have to steal this from the Weekly Planet Boys is that in the first one, you know, you see an agent and you run for your life because it's so threatening and you need to get to a landline so that you can pick up the phone and get out of there. Whereas this one, it's just like, they can upload you as soon as they say there's a signal and there's agents and people running after you, but you can jump off a building. So who cares? And there's just like, it just wasn't that interesting to me. Like even the end when it's like Trinity and Neo, like and he's throwing missiles around and doing his little push pad. It seemed like he just mostly had like defensive capabilities or something like that. Like I don't know. And then, I just knew when they jumped that she was going to be the one that flew. And then they basically just literally the end's just the end of the first Matrix, except they actually, rather than calling somebody on a phone, they go and see Neil Patrick Harris and punch his face off a couple times.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought Neil Patrick Harris was fine in it.
He was good.
You know, I you can't really out Matrix the Matrix because it really, on just a cinematography level, it
defined the era.
Absolutely.
It still gets referenced. I just saw It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're doing Matrix moves in it.
Sure. You know, so. I mean, it becomes commonplace, which is fantastic on one level. And so like when they try to go, you know, where basically the analyst can slow things down or go basically faster than the Matrix, you know, the thing is visually it looked weird. It looked
glitchy.
It looked like remember all the issues the people had with The Hobbit at 60 frames per second? It felt like that. It was just like it lost a cinematic nature, the entire movie. And it was really, the problem was you saw the cinematic nature of the movie, you know, with old video cuts. And you're like, man, I'd love to have a little bit of film grain, please. And it was just, it was a C. For me, you know, it was much more interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it like a big flaming turd or anything.
No,
I was intrigued at parts.
I might want to watch it again, but I don't care.
I think I'd watch it again just to see if maybe there's something I missed. I mean, like I did that the same way with the first three Matrix movies when I read that it was supposedly this like trans movie where I was like, oh, it's like this, it's talking about how it's like you see yourself a different way and then other thing. And then how you see yourself in the real life and blah, blah, blah. And there's this person inside versus this person outside. So I rewatched it and I was like,
that's only because the director's changed.
And being like, why is everyone so mad at him? Like, I'm not seeing it. Like, you know, maybe this is the evil straight cis white male in me.
I'm a pretty
understanding guy at the end of the day. And
that's an ipso facto.
Oswald just kind of threw Chappelle under the bus. He was like, even though we don't agree on trans rights. And I'm like, I don't think he's saying anything about their
first rights. All right, now wait a minute here. Patton Oswalt, he completely flipped the script. He shit down the neck and had a bunch of people like go after Shane Gillis, and then he didn't do it for Chappelle, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Well, he had this big long Instagram post because I guess he got in trouble for doing a show with Chappelle on New Year's Eve, and he like responded saying like, just because, you know, I've known him for 30 years, he's a good friend. Like,
did you watch it again? I mean,
that's the thing. I keep looking at him being like, guys, he's not saying that people shouldn't have rights. What he's saying is they are getting their rights much faster than anybody of color. And it's frustrating as a person of color to see people gunned down in the streets while Caitlyn Jenner's Woman of the Year. Like, that's all he's trying to say is that that's been accepted so much faster than brown people or anybody that's an outsider that comes here, that they, you know, they have to like fight for their rights.
When he dog whistled Shane over the SNL, that was, and he got all of his followers to just completely trounce him. And that's the part that I don't agree with. And I can still like MODOK and I can appreciate his work and I can separate his work from who he is as a person, but it's still very frustrating to me.
Well, and I think that's partially the thing is individual celebrities used to have, maybe they did used to have this kind of power. They just didn't wield it with like the social media and everything. Like, that's a new thing that you can literally sick a portion of the population.
That's gross.
Somebody.
That's called lynching, by the way.
Yeah. And I think that maybe people don't understand. Like, I think it's like a thing I yell at about Rogan a lot sometimes, that I think that for the amount of people that listen to him and are swayed by what he says, he has a little bit more responsibility to think about, like, I suppose, going on an anti-vax rant or whatever. Like, I understand he's very much like, I'm going to question everything.
Yeah.
And he's made me question the way I think about things. Sure. One of the reasons I like
this. I think that's important, because if you do question
it. I think at the end of the day, like, to get all pissy about, like, the fact that Fauci for like 15 minutes sent out an email that said masks don't work and then he changed his mind. It's like, okay, well, you can read something, some data, and then change your mind on something.
But
like,
Sam, not
everything's a conspiracy.
Like, exactly. But we do need, I mean, I fully believe, I think questioning things is good, mm-hmm. as long as you eventually get to whatever decision you come to, you should not follow something blindly just because. You've got to at least weigh all your options. When you go to the grocery store.
Alex Jones at InfoWars questions everything. It doesn't necessarily mean he does it in a healthy way.
if I go to the grocery store and I look at different brands of rice, I'm going to make a decision. It's this influencing technology of like where just because such and such uses this, I'm going to use this. That's essentially what commercials have always, you know, led to. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you've got to weigh things out.
No, yeah. So that's we kind of went off track there a little bit. I don't even know how we got on Patton Oswalt.
Okay. Well, here on that note, what we just talked about is you didn't get to see it yet. And I implore you, this is the Netflix movie that I think everyone needs to see, because it's a very dark comedy, but a very well articulated movie that I found to be very entertaining. I've watched it twice. Is Don't Look Up with DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, a vast amount of A-list actors. I highly recommend watching this. It is my go-to movie that Netflix made this year.
No, yeah, it's been on my list. You know, the previews look funny. The casting is great. You know, Adam McKay has made
interesting
movies.
If I'm not mistaken, Adam McKay, what else has he done?
Step Brothers.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
He also did The Big Short. So like he started off with a little sillier comedies and he's kind of graduated into kind of more big boy territory here.
Yeah.
I think that there's been some stuff in the news about him and Will Ferrell's kind of falling out almost. I think it was over Will Ferrell wanted to play a role in something that he was making, and he cast John C. Reilly in it instead or something like that.
Oh, all right. Well,
but, you know, it's I'm interested. It looks great. So I haven't been able to watch it.
I'll put it to you like that. You know, like, and everybody in listener world, watch it. If you have watched it, then you know it's good. All right. So, Book of Boba Fett. I have not been. I want so bad to cut my Disney Plus off, and I
keep putting just.
I know they know how to do it. They know how to do it. I watched it. I think it was confusing as hell with the back and forth and like getting out of the Sarlacc pit, that kind of nonsense. I don't think the guy who's playing Boba Fett is, I don't think he's a good lead actor. Number one, he's just not. And the thing is, they've made it so that, you know, what made Mandalorian kind of cool was you never saw his face. And in this,
yeah, he's got his mask off all the time.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
And he's not a very facially a good actor.
Yeah. He's much more of a stoic kind of.
I'm going to keep watching it for a little bit longer. But I'm not sure about this one.
Yeah. No, this one, I was a little surprised to see it was written by Favreau. It was like, oh. Huh. Okay.
Well, so, and Favreau wrote it, and Rodriguez.
By Richard Rodriguez too. So,
but what's he done in a while? I mean, yeah. And it's, I don't know. I didn't get that El Mariachi vibe or Machete vibe at all. And maybe I'm not supposed to, but like, it was like you had a really cool spaghetti western in Mandalorian, and we didn't. We're not going that direction. At least it doesn't seem like it. Instead, he's becoming a pimp gangster who's probably going to do the good thing. Boba Fett's not a good guy, so I don't really necessarily want him to be. I want him to be, you know, not an anti-hero per se, but he's not a good guy.
Yeah, no, that's why I was never that. Like, I was kind of like bummed because I was expecting Mandalorian season 3 this year. Like, because that's what they were saying last year, is that, oh, Mandalorian will be out in December next year for season 3. And then it was like afterwards, they're like, actually, it's going to be Boba Fett
in
Mandalorian season 3.
They've got to figure out what they're going to do with Gina Carano, because my feeling is they are going to have to bring her back.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, she was pivotal. And she was a great, like, when you start hitting check boxes of things, she hit a lot of good check marks, except she wasn't going in the talking point of what they wanted. And I think that there's the idea that you can't say things and then you lose your job. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't think it's right. I think if you do your job and the people on set like you, that's fine. You know, just think about like in your normal working job, you could do a great job, but if people don't like you, then you're eventually going to be weeded out. But when the people on set like you and you're doing a good job, well,
I don't know. I think other people liked her character a lot more than I did.
Okay.
I thought she was basically what's the best way to put this? Like a female version of like an 80s action star.
Sure.
Like,
I can get there.
She was like a lady, what do you call it? Arnold Schwarzenegger carrying around like a minigun. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we'll make it happen. Like,
but see that ticks Sam, that ticks that box. And this idea of the, you know, I cannot fucking stand saying this, the whole strong female lead. Strength does not necessarily mean physical strength, but that's the box. That's the easy box check.
They got Ahsoka's filming right now, or maybe finished by now. I don't know. Supposed to be coming out this year. There's a strong female lead. I thought Rosario was great.
But they wanted to cancel her out. I don't know. Oh, I can't remember. It's there. I don't want to go down that path.
I mean, if Spider-Man can get canceled, anybody can get canceled, guys. That's what we think we should learn from everything this last month.
but at the end of the day, I was not overly thrilled about Boba Fett. I tried to be, but like it was kinda, ultimately boring.
And I hope that it's not a whole series of flashbacks to how he got to.
Oh, please not. This. We're already there.
So I kind of almost felt like that should have just been the first episode. Was be like, just like, heck, just show the 2 or 3 minutes of the movie where he gets thrown into the Sarlacc and then have it fade to black and then have him wake up in it or something like that. And then just have that be the first episode is how he got out of there and eventually got to his ship.
Well, see, it's funny because I read a book. I can't remember what it's called. I think it was, I don't know if it was a Timothy Zahn book, but it was like Dengar, you know, the guy with all the bandages around his head. Mm-hmm. He basically got him out of the Sarlacc pit and got him back better, which I thought would have been interesting if they had used that, because then you have, I'm thinking about the toys. Like, then you can bring a Dengar figure back into play, and you can have an actor that's going to play Dengar, which would be kind of interesting as well. I don't know. But, you know, again, I think they could have gone a lot of different ways with it. I just, with the back and forth was really not well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so that's why I just kind of was like, eh, he's still stuck in that camp or whatever at the end. Like, I was like, man, I really hope this isn't a series of how he got back and how now he's taking. I kind of would have liked it to have been like, just make it one episode, and who knows, maybe you release two, then you do that episode, and then the first episode of him taking over Jabba's palace and everything. But yeah, no, I kind of don't care if he's just going to be a crime lord in the sand planet that, you know.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
Filled with scum and villainy.
Okay. Let's do this.
I'm reserving judgment. I didn't. My first episode was okay, but I'm not like, it's not like Mandalorian. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for next week. I was like, eh.
Okay. It's like we haven't talked about it, and I'm a little bit upset. It's about Curb. I thought
it's over.
Well, if that's the finale, gave me nothing. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is where we're ending it? I mean, well, Tracy Ullman's character was fantastic, but I was like, what are we doing? I thought it left me so empty.
I kind of realized, as soon as he had the fantasy of everything working out, I was like, well, this is going to, everything's going to blow up in his face here at the end. And, you know, it was just kind of weird that it's like out of nowhere, we just had another Mary Ferguson. Like, that was a plot line that kept going and coming and coming and going. You know, like, that just the whole Netflix thing. Like, there wasn't one plot or one episode that I was like, oh, that was the best. Like, that was hilarious. I love the them watching the roofer go on the roof and stomp around and worry that he ate the ice cream. There was individual parts of the season that were just classic, perfect Larry, like him being in line and telling people to move up, and Leon saying that you can only tell people the same race of yours to do something in public. You can't tell somebody from a different race or else they'll tell you to screw off. And I'm like, oh, well, that is kind of true.
And again, we talked about this before the show, but like JB Smoove is, I am so happy they kept him in because his improv work is so strong. I don't want him to ever be a lead on anything because I don't think he can hold a lead position.
But it's like, how great is the 30-second scene of him, Martin Starr, and Hannibal Buress in the Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
Where they're welcoming him in, and Hannibal Buress is trying to bite his tongue while he's like, Mysterio was right.
but when J.B. Smoove, when he comes and he begins doing his like ideas for get rich quick schemes, where, you know, you're hiring a husband, you know, that was fantastic. And then everything ends up falling or getting wrecked, but he goes in there to help these different people who need a man to say, no, it's not going to cost that much. You don't need to do this. It's these little lines that go across the season. And for whatever reason, I just wanted.
This didn't come together as like a season very well, and even certain episodes.
And this was pandemic.
Didn't even feel like an episode, you know. So yeah, I mean, it was kind of one of those shows where I almost feel like it was kind of like Sunny, where you're happy to have it back in your life, you're happy to spend another 8 to 10 episodes with these characters, and maybe it wasn't the best season, but I still had some individual pops of greatness. Like, and even Sunny, like the finale of Sunny had like a poignant part with Charlie where it was like, but you know, we're still entertaining and still worth a watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Sam, I think we've gone the distance. I mean, this is episode 20. Can you believe that?
Oh man, we almost did one every other week this year,
basically.
So, oh, but we're on the new year now. So.
Right. Well, we're not going to make any promises. We don't make promises like that.
No. Well, I mean, and then plus also, you know, things are dried up a little bit. I mean, we're going to have Boba Fett here for a couple weeks. Maybe we'll check in at the midpoint there. Still haven't watched MacGruber. I still haven't watched MacGruber. I've been savoring watching MacGruber.
What is the fascination with MacGruber? I don't get it.
It's hilarious. What do you mean? What's the fascination? He's hilarious. It's MacGyver, except he's an idiot.
I don't know. I just like something about it. That's just like it. Like it just rubs me wrong. I don't like. It's like, is this because didn't it come out of SNL?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it was just kind of a dumb SNL sketch. Probably the best, I think the best version of MacGruber is probably the one with who was the guest host?
I mean, the only thing I know about is like the whole Upper Decker thing. I remember that being a thing.
Well, yeah, that was just a weird plot point in it. Yeah, like you just go back and watch a few old SNL. But I mean, that's the thing is like I watched it and was like instantly like, oh, this movie's almost an ode to like a love note to old 80s action movies. Like this thing's wild. Cause it's just,
what
like
is it? Is it on HBO?
No, it's on Peacock. So I got to,
oh, F that
log in.
No, that's the, yeah, no, I'm not doing Peacock.
Oh no, I'm not signing up, but I should get it for free. Cause I have internet with them, but for some reason my plan doesn't qualify. So.
Oh, garbage. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, Sam. Let's call it. Right, well, let's so we'll call
try
it a thing.
We'll try something to talk about besides Boba Fett between now and then. We'll see.
You're gonna watch. Don't Look Up.
Yeah. No. I've been kind of. I now that we finished Squid Game, that's the next thing I think I'm going to push on the fiance. Like, come on, Leo's in it.
Did you watch Doom Patrol yet?
No, I have not watched Doom Patrol yet.
Dickhole. Come on.
I've been watching. I've been mainlining It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I can't help it.
Everything that guy just says is bullshit.
All right, Sam. Well, we will catch you on the next time. And watchers, we keep watching.
Yeah, let us know if we were missing something. Let us know.
Be good.
Good night.